Today is Saturday, the 13th of August, 2022, and we are all gathered here for the 43rd session on Mindfulness for Beginners. And I would like to welcome with much respect Venerable Bante, Hom Agama Dhamma Kusala Thero, to today's program. And I would also like to welcome everyone who are participating through Zoom and the Facebook live stream to today's program. So our program will extend with the steps of first going through in-session mindfulness practice, and then we move on to the Q&A session. After that, there will be a slight introduction to a beginner's guide, and then we will go on to the talk on mindfulness from Bante, and then we will conclude the session. There will be chances for anyone who has questions or statements on mindfulness to present them to Bante. So without further ado, I would like to move on to hand over the session to Bante to commence with the in-session mindfulness practice for today's program. Over to Bante. Much merits.
Okay, everybody. So today we will start with a sitting session. We can take some time, probably around 10-15 minutes, to sit mindfully. As the very first step, you have to adjust your seat. Make sure that you are comfortable. Once you have that comfort, you can close your eyes and be aware. Be aware that you are sitting here in this present moment. Notice what you feel when you pay attention like this. Notice what are appearing in your field of awareness. Maybe as the starting point, you may notice various sounds from your surrounding. Various sounds appearing and disappearing. Again and again, this process is happening. Among these sounds, you may start to notice your bodily sensations as well. Maybe the pressure on your back you feel. And some of you might feel the breathing process. Probably at nostrils, probably as a movement of chest or stomach. Just be open and see what are the sensations that are prominent in your body. If it is the breath, notice the difference between in-breath and out-breath. Breath goes in and after a while it comes out. Again goes in, comes out. This process is happening again and again. Time to time, thoughts may appear, but after a while, you can notice that you are thinking, planning, various thought processes are there. Once you get that awareness, you can simply come back to the present moment. Be aware that you are sitting again. Be aware that you are breathing. Be aware that you feel your bodily sensations. Sometimes you may notice pain inside your body. Maybe you feel sleepy after a while. These things come and go. You can be aware that you are sitting. You can be aware that you feel sleepy. You can be aware that you feel pain inside your body. among all these things, we are calm and peaceful. We try to appreciate that peace. Various things come and go. Among these things, you are peaceful. So as a group, let's try to practice mindful sitting for a few more minutes. Okay, that's about 10 minutes of mindful sitting. It's just to give you an idea about the sitting practice. So you can try this on your own. Probably every day, if you can spend some time sitting like this, then you can see how the mindfulness is growing, how you experience this idea of mindfulness. So try it on your own. Every day, try to reserve some time to practice it, practice and do a sitting session. And with that experience, we can discuss further. Now, Mante, over to you.
Much merits to Bante for implementing that in session practice. That will act as Bante mentioned, that will act as a guideline for us to follow in daily life schedules. So just a quick invitation, this is being conducted as a video on session, so all of you are able to and allowed in Zoom to turn your videos on if you feel comfortable doing so. So please feel free to turn the video on if you would like to participate with video on, so that this program allows that sort of video sharing. Just a quick reminder. So, as in line with the purpose of the program, we will be conducting the Q&A session And I would like to invite Anupama to conduct the Q&A session, starting off with the presentation of the written reports received for today. Thank you, Anupama. Much merits.
Thank you, Namantha. Avastai Bante. I hope you can hear me clearly. I shall, yes.
Yes, we can.
Can you hear me? Fabulous. Okay, thank you. I will start by reading report number one. We have received two reports, as Namantha mentioned. Report one of two. Walking meditation. Walked on grass in slippers. Noted left, right foot being placed initially and then lifting, moving, placing. Noted the sounds of the dry grass, crackling of the leaves as foot being placed and change of sound as foot lifted. Other sounds heard, not distracting. Uneven ground, sharpness of the leaves, grass on toes at times. Breeze on feet and rest of body. The heat and sun on arms all noted. Sweat on face, back and on hands and arms observed. At one stage, tied hair up away from neck, but mind went back to observing feet. Thoughts came and went with minimal proliferation, not distracting. After half an hour, went to get a glass of water, which I did mindfully, walking to kitchen and walked out onto the grass to continue the walking meditation. Walked 1 hour. That is the end of report one, Bante.
Okay, so when we hear that experience, you can see how this person has practiced sitting and walking. You can feel the experience. You can see what are the details that were observed. You feel the feet. You feel the various sensations. Among these various sensations, sounds come. Various thoughts appear. So this is the practice. This is how we are going to develop our mindfulness. And if you can just be mindful in your day-to-day life, that is enough. But the problem is that it is difficult. We get carried away by thoughts. It is difficult for us to be mindful in our day-to-day life. The power is too much. The thoughts are too strong. So we get carried away. So that's why we start with the formal practice. We try to be mindful while walking. We try to be mindful while sitting. And when you do that, you can see that this practice allows you to be mindful during your day-to-day activities as well. After doing a walking session, you go and grab a glass of water and you can be aware. You can be mindful that you're walking towards the kitchen. You can be mindful that you are drinking water. That awareness, you can continue. Especially after a walking session, you can feel that awareness you created during the walking session last for long periods, probably few hours it is lasting, and gradually it will reduce. So that's why we emphasize the importance of formal practice as mindful walking and sitting. The idea is to be mindful, be aware throughout your day. Since it is difficult, since the thoughts are too strong, we start with a formal practice. And when you do that for some time, when you start with your formal practice, you can notice that these day-to-day occasions, you can be mindful. Little by little, your mindfulness is growing. Little by little, you notice that you can be mindful during these activities. So this person is mentioning that after a walking session, you go for a drink and you notice you can be mindful. You can do that part similar to a meditation experience. So that's the idea of the practice. So you do your formal sitting and walking. you continue with that, make a part of your daily schedule. And with time, you realize that day-to-day activities also I can be mindful. Little by little, I'm able to continue my mindfulness throughout the day. So as long as you are aware, you can be mindful. Mindful of the activity that you are doing. Mindful of the present moment. Even till you fall asleep, you can be aware that you are lying down on the bed and you feel various sensations, thoughts appearing. Little by little, eyes become heavier and heavier and you fall asleep. So with a mindful manner, you go to sleep. And when you wake up also in the morning, probably with the sound of the bell or probably due to somebody's calls, you get up and you can be aware that you're waking up little by little. Again, awareness continues. So even the sleeping time, you are mindful because you fall asleep with a mindful mind and you wake up with a mindful mind. That's the way to get a good night's sleep without bad dreams, and you can wake up fresh. So this is the idea. So try to experience that more and more in your day-to-day life.
Thank you, Bhante. I shall now move on to report number 2. Mindful sitting, 1 hour. Sat on the cushion and settled into the meditation posture and closed the eyes. Started a quick body scan to bring a fuller awareness of the seated body. Areas of the body that felt tight started to relax. When the breath appeared, it was prominent. In-breath was cooler and out-breath warmer around the nostrils. Attention stayed for a while with the breathing. After some time, the breath was noted as rise and fall of the stomach. Attention naturally moved to nostril area, but the sensations there have become subtler. However, mind knew that the body was breathing. The process had rhythm and inner surroundings were calmer. Thoughts seem to appear less frequently in sitting practice these days. And when they do appear, there is less interest in the mind to interpret and form stories around them. Attention returned to breathing. It was subtle and hardly noticeable. Then notice the breath breaking up, like the air stream was perforated at intervals, or like what was referred to as one breath is made up of multiple mini breaths now. Sometime later, noted pressure in lower back in contact with the cushion. Mind seemed to be comfortable now to just watch the sensations and not react to them. Attention moved to breathing again with a longer in-breath. Mindfulness during the day. Mindfulness seems a bit sharper, such as with soon after awaking, during daily chores, preparing for work, even in social interactions. This is helping to reduce habitual storytelling in the mind. For example, pouring some water to drink, clearly noted the hand reaching for the glass, the other hand lifting the water filter and pouring out. Shoulder muscles tightening to strengthen the hand to keep hold of the filter jar. Shoulder muscles relaxing once the filter was placed back. The other hand lifting the glass, bringing it to lips. Water being sucked in, tongue in contact with upper palate, and noticing the water going down the gullet. During this process, there were no storytelling, being bored, nor being distracted. In social interactions too, it is easier to note when reactions crop up and likes and dislikes appear in the mind. This is helping to adjust behavior as better or more healthy options appear in the mind due to mindfulness. However, there is a bit of a dilemma as the mind is noticing irritation, anger, restlessness, envy, etc. much more now. Quite aware of the subtle judgment in the mind with these emotions. Mind is also noting moments of calmness, contentment, quiet, strength, confidence, happiness, etc. Again, quite aware of the subtle liking of these feelings. Venerable Bhante, looking forward to your valuable feedback on this experience. Much merit to you and the organizing team. End of report 2.
Okay, so when you do a sitting session, you take your breath and you start observing that. So when you observe your breath, in a way, it's an indicator of your mind. So when you observe breath, you are observing the state of your mind. And at the starting point, usually breath is prominent. Breath is rough, breath is longer. This is how we start. So in a way, your mind is rough. Your mind is coarse. And little by little, you feel how the breath is changing. How it is becoming subtle. How it is becoming shorter. You can notice. So some people, they worry. They get fearful that breath is disappearing. And you may die. That kind of a fear is natural to a beginner. But you have to understand, it's only the perception of the breath is changing. It's not the breath disappearing. Instead, our perception is changing. Perception is disappearing. So the breath is there, but still it is not that prominent. It is subtle. It breaks into smaller pieces. This is the process. This is the evolution that happens in your breath. So when you observe this process, you can really see how you are going in deeper and deeper into your mind, using breath as an indicator, using breath as the object. And with time, you realize that it breaks down into smaller pieces and it disappears. And the activity or the process of the breath is done. And now you are mindful. Various objects, things appear. They last for a while. They disappear. But you can maintain mindfulness. You can maintain awareness. So this is how we evolve in our practice. So you have to start somewhere. So we say you start with your breath. Take breath as the indicator of your mind. And little by little, see what is happening to that breath. And towards the end of this breathing journey, you can feel that without the breath, you can be mindful. Without any object of mindfulness, you can just continue. You can just be aware that various objects appear, they last for a while and they disappear. So this process, you can be mindful of this process and how it is happening. Then various thoughts, emotions, these things also appear. Time to time, likes, dislikes come into play. Usually the emotions, thoughts we consider as positive. We have liking towards them. The thoughts, emotions we consider as negative. We have disliking towards them. So that's the process that you are explaining. Certain things, positive things, we want to, you know, keep them. And the negative things, we want to get rid of them. But if you remember, sometime back we were discussing, both these emotions are poisonous. Both of them contain the same kind of a poison. And it is easier to understand that negativity, negative emotions, It feels like poisonous. When you are burning with anger, you feel that. When you are jealous, you feel that. When your mind is agitated, you feel that. But it is more difficult to explain to a person that even the positive emotions, they too contain the same kind of a poison. But when you do this practice again and again, you can see how these likes and dislikes appear again and again. Positive things you get attracted to, and negative things you reject them. So the idea is to observe this process again and again, and the result would be that we get separated from both positivity as well as negativity. We are not holding on to either of them. Instead, they just come and go. They come into being, they last for a while, and they disappear. This process is what's happening. So it's okay to feel them. I'm assuring you, you can't get rid of them. Don't try to get rid of them. Instead, let them come and go. Probably sometimes for days, for hours, you feel this negative energy, negative emotions in your mind. That's fine. You feel jealous, you feel anger, you feel lust. These things are human. It is okay to feel them. It is human to feel them. So you have to understand. Nowadays, people say that you can't feel lust. You can't have anger in your mind. So these are just sayings that they don't have any experience with the practice. Even for youngsters, when they are maturing little by little, they get lust in their mind. So they have a lot of questions regarding this. They are curious about this. So parents advise that you shouldn't have this, you shouldn't feel this. But when we think about our past, we too had the same feelings in our mind. We too passed that period. So it is okay to feel them. It is okay. More like you are human. It is human to feel them. And you just let them be. You just let them be, but you are aware. When you are angry, you know that you are aware. When you are happy, you know that you are happy. When you are sad, you know that you are sad. When you are jealous, you know that you are jealous. When you are lustful, you know that you are lustful. That very knowing is what's important. If you don't know, you are a slave to that emotion. You get carried away with that emotions or thoughts. If you know, it's okay to feel them. It's okay that you are sad for a few hours. It's okay that you feel anger for a few hours. The idea is to be aware that you feel them and try to manage the situation. Try to see how you can survive. Probably sometimes you with anger, let's say, sometimes you may have to avoid that situation. You feel that it is going out of control. So you avoid sometimes. Sometimes you pay attention to something else. So in a way, you are tactful to manage these situations and try to go through them. So various solutions you can use. You can pay attention to something else. You can go exercise. You can avoid these type of people or these type of situations. The various things you can find, it's up to you. But the idea is that you are aware and you know what's happening. When you have that awareness, when you have that control, you will find 101 ways to survive in this world. So that's the idea. It's okay to feel them. Let them come and go. You try to be aware. As long as you are aware, it is okay. You won't get carried away by these emotions. You know, and when it is going out of control, you know. And you can find some solution and you can somehow survive. That very idea is the practice. Don't try to get rid of them. Instead, just be with them and try and see little by little when we progress, we go beyond these emotions and thoughts. Let them be negative, let them be positive. We go past them, we go beyond them. So that's the idea of the practice. continue to say, and you will feel it for yourself.
Thank you very much, Pante. That is very practical advice and guidance that we can apply to our day-to-day lives. Appreciate it very much. Now we move on to the Q&A session. If anyone in the audience has a question for Pante, you can raise your Zoom hand and we will ask you to unmute yourself and ask your question, please. There are no Zoom hands raised, so I will leave no questions for the time being. Now, Mantha, I shall now hand over to you. Thank you.
Thank you, Anupama, and much merits to you, and much merits to Bhante for coordinating us, and much merits to Bhante for the insightful advice on those two reports. So next, I will quickly share the beginner's introduction on screen and go through the information there. So you can see on shared on screen that we have five steps listed for how a beginner can commence a mindfulness practice on their own. So this program will provide you the basic instructions and insight on progressing and starting. The framework we advise for a beginner is this. There are two videos, one on mindful walking and the second on the mindful sitting practice. You can go through these two videos, and I will put these links in the Zoom chat section shortly. You can go through them and familiarize yourself with the basics, what to observe and what may happen in each of these practices. So once you are comfortable with the basics, you can start allocating some time daily. Please note that this training on mindfulness is a very active training when you start. You can start by about 10 to 20 minutes if you are just starting, and then gradually progress to 1 hour a day when you get some experience and exposure into the practice. So for a beginner, you can start at 10 minutes or 20 minutes, that's fine, and do one session on mindful walking first, and then move on to a mindful sitting. Once you do this for 3-4 days, you can start writing a report even as a beginner. And then the third point highlights the way to write a report. You can write about the object of your focus during mindful walking, whether it was the feet in contact with the ground, in contact with the tile floor or the floor, and then whether you were able to see your mind getting distracted and your focus shifting back into your feet touching the floor like that. You can explain all these things happening during the mindful walking session in a report in your own words. And you can take some example from the reports being read out during the sessions. And then you can also list down what you understood during your mindful sitting practice. You can describe what became the prominent object of focus, whether it was the breath moving in or out of your body, whether it was your abdomen rising or falling, and then whether it was any other bodily vibrations that occurred that caught your focus. Or also, you can, if it happened, you can mention any disturbances from thoughts surrounding environment which may have created an impact on your mindfulness session during the sitting practice. So this program is a program where you continuously provide or submit written reports or present verbal questions to Bhante during the Q&A session. So you can use this as a feedback loop to continuously improve your practice. The fourth step is describing how to send the written reports to us. You can use the Google form mentioned here, or else you can use a beginnersnv@gmail.com, which I believe is easier for you, but it is your choice. The fifth point shows the recordings that are available for you to go and listen through for an understanding of the previous programs or previous sessions that we had done on this program in a live format. But if you are short for time, you don't have to go through earlier sessions. You can start today and keep on continuing from today onwards and gain the complete benefit of the program, because this program essentially highlights for a beginner to catch up quickly from the session that you are joining, and then you can continue with the sessions as they unfold. So now with that, the instructions or beginners instructions comes to an end. I will stop sharing the screen and I will post the links and this information into the Zoom chat section. I will stop sharing the screen. And so the next step is for us to gain a benefit of understanding on mindfulness. Bhante will provide us with a talk on mindfulness. So on behalf of all of us, I would like to invite with much respect Venerable Bhante to provide us some insightful advice on the talk on mindfulness. Over to Bhante. Much merits.
Okay, everybody. We'll take about 15-20 minutes to discuss a little bit about our practice. Now, as I explained earlier, we try to practice mindfulness. We try to practice awareness. This awareness is about the present moment. It's not about the past or the future. Instead, we try to be aware about the present moment. So in a way, it is quite related to your day-to-day life. Whatever the activity you are doing, if you have your attention there, then you will do it successfully. You will do it right. So in a way, this is an invitation to live your life more and more. Invitation to be present more and more. So that's the idea of the practice. That's the idea of the mindfulness. So in a way, you are not living your life. If you think about your mind, if you think how it works, if you just pay some attention, you will notice that your mind is not present. It is present once in a while, but most of the time, it's either in the past or the future, worrying about the past or the plan in the future. This is how it goes. So you are not really living your life. Instead, you think about a dead past, or you think about this unborn future. That's how we spend most of our time. But the irony is that you can't really go back to the past, and future is not born yet. So in a way, in a struggle between the past and the future, you are losing the real life that you can live. You are losing the present moment between this struggle between the past and the future. So when you try to be mindful, you try to live your life. You try to be aware about the present moment. This present is the only one that you can touch. It's the only one that you can experience. So this is an invitation to live. This is an invitation to be present. It is quite related to your life. It is quite related to the day-to-day things that we do. So some people, they say that I don't have time to meditate. That's a usual complaint that we get. So the teachers, they usually ask, do you have time to breathe? Then that person says, yes, of course, I am breathing. Okay, if you have time to breathe, you have time to meditate. In a way, if you are living, you can meditate. What is the meditation? The meditation is being aware. Being aware about whatever the experience that you are going through. Being aware about whatever the activity that you are doing. And when you have that attention, when you pay attention to the present moment, what you notice, probably as a beginner, what you notice is chaos. You feel that so many thoughts are there. You feel that your mind is all over the place. You feel a lot of friction. So in a way, you come and complain. I try to get rid of this friction with practice. That was my idea, get rid of this suffering. But now I feel more and more friction. Now I feel more and more suffering due to this practice. They are complaining. This is a valid complaint because when you pay attention, suddenly you start to notice how your mind works. Suddenly you start to notice how lost you are in this mind. It is not a new thing. It has been there for a long time, but now only you are noticing due to the awareness that you are practicing, due to the mindfulness you are practicing. You are noticing the state of your mind. You are noticing the process that is happening in the present moment. So we can take this as a positive sign. We can take this as a good sign that you have started your practice. When you start being aware, when you start being mindful, you can really feel more and more friction. You can feel that how lost you are in your mind, how many thoughts come and go, and it feels utter chaos. But when you practice again and again, it becomes much easier. With time, it becomes much easier. You realize although the thoughts are there, although the various sounds are there, although various bodily sensations are there, I can be aware about this process. I can be aware about the present moment. So that confidence you get only by practicing. When you do your repetitive practice, then only you realize, now I can be mindful for a few steps. Now I can be mindful for a few breaths. So that's a good sign that you have invested some time in practice. With that investment, you feel confident. You feel comfortable about the practice. So that's how we can progress in our practice of mindfulness. That's why we invite you to spend some time daily as the formal meditation. Probably start your day with a sitting session. Finish your day with a walking session. That's a good approach. At least like 30-40 minutes, try to sit in the morning. And before you go to bed, try to walk for 30-40 minutes. And if you make that habitual, then you can see when time passes, probably a few weeks, few months passes, and you realize now I am more and more mindful. Now it's coming more and more natural to me. So this is how the practice is progressing. This is how it is evolving. You do your investment and you let it be. You can't work on this 24/7. It's not possible. It's like growing a plant. You prepare the necessary things. You do your part. You water it. You put fertilizer. You keep it in the sun. And that's all you can do. No point worrying further. No point going checking every hour, because that's not how plants grow. Instead, you do your part daily. You let it be. If you try to observe every hour, you will come and complain, it's not growing. I have observed for a few days now and I can't see any growth. So that way of planting won't work. That way of gardening won't work. Instead, you do your part, let the plant be. And with time, within a few weeks, suddenly you realize it has grown this much. It has new branches. I feel new leaves. that's how it goes. So every day you do your part, you do your investment towards the practice, and let the practice mature on its own. Let it grow on its own. And within few weeks, within few months, suddenly it hits you. Suddenly you realize, okay, now mindfulness comes naturally to me. Now I see the result of my repetitive practice. So that's the way of the practice. That's the way of the growth. Now let me share one of the popular Zen stories with you. Most of you must know this story. It's about two monks who are traveling on a forest path, and they come across a small river. And on the bank of this river, they find this woman trying to get across. She's struggling, she can't get across. So one monk come to this woman and ask, what's the problem? She says, I want to get to the other bank. And this monk carry her on his back, leave her on the other bank, and continue his walk. Then the second monk, who is coming from the behind, he was watching this incident, and they kept walking for a few hours, probably few kilometers. Suddenly, this second monk is complaining. Now, what did you do? He's asking. Then the first monk is replying, what are you talking about? Then he says, we are not supposed to talk with women. You went and talk. We are not supposed to touch women. You went and carried her. This is not acceptable. This is not how we should behave. So this monk is complaining. Then that first monk was answering, it is true that we are not supposed to talk with them. It is true that we are not supposed to touch them. It is true that I talked. It is true that I touched her, but I left her on the opposite bank of the river. You are still carrying her. So that's the answer the monk gave. So what are they talking about? This is the baggage in your mind. This is how you struggle with your life. This is how you complain. This is why you become jealous. You have this baggage in your mind. Heavier it is, more and more friction you will feel. In a way, both of these monks represent states of our mind. The first one did his job, forget it, and went forward, moved forward. That is more like being present with the practice. A mind that is mindful, it lets go naturally. It is more and more present. Whatever the task that you have to do it. You let it go, you move to the next one. So this is one state of our mind. Then what is the other one? The other one is worrying about the past, worrying about the future, complaining, anger, jealousy, all these emotions, thoughts, thinking mind. You can name as the second monk. So both of these states are within us. Certain times the first monk is more powerful. You do your part, you let it go, you move forward. But most of the time the second monk is powerful, complaining, worrying, thinking about the future. All these thoughts, emotions come. So that's the baggage that we have in our mind. Heavier it is, more and more friction you will feel. More and more difficulty you will feel. More and more trouble you will have dealing with your family and the other people. So both are states of our mind. Now when we think about it like this, we easily understand it's healthier to have the first monk in our mind. It's healthier to have that first state of mind in our mind, being present, doing your job, letting it go and move forward. It's healthier, it's easier than that second type of behavior, second state of mind. It's more and more difficult, friction, baggage. You understand, you know that the first one is healthier. But let's think this way. Now, can you do it? Can you do it? Can you accept being the first state more and more? Can you ask your mind to be in that blissful state? Can you ask your mind to be present? Will it do? That's the trouble we have to think about. When we experience something, when we experience difficulty, when something happens, when somebody come and tell you something, when you see an incident, suddenly this mind becomes that second state. It starts to complain. You feel the jealousy. You feel the anger. You feel the friction. Although we know that first state is healthy, although we try to be there, we can't be. Always we come to the second state. Always we come back to this baggage in our mind. So as a solution, you have to practice. The practice is the solution. Mindfulness is the solution. If you can just order your mind to be more present, and if it is listening, then much easier. But that is not practical in this world. That is not how your mind is reacting, how your mind is behaving. It will always go in that usual pattern, usual behavior. So that's the trouble that we are experiencing. That's the friction that we are experiencing. This analogy of a person who is riding an elephant is given for this process. This rider, he says to the elephant, "Go that way." And the elephant replies, "No, I'm good." He's saying he doesn't want to go in that direction. And that elephant usually travels in that familiar path. He follows his familiar behavior. No matter what is ordered to him, that elephant won't listen. So that's the same process in our mind. It is traveling through the trained behavior. It is traveling through the familiar patterns. So when that happens, you can really feel, although you appreciate that state one, although you appreciate that first monk, although you appreciate being present, you can't do that. You always naturally go and complain. You always naturally go and become jealous. You always go and start, you know, worrying. So that's where we need the practice. That's where the mindfulness will come into play. When you are mindful, you are training your mind to be in that first state. You are training your mind to notice and you let go. Again, you notice and you let go. So in a way, it is saying you take something, you reflect upon it and you put it down. Again, you take something else. It picks something else, you reflect and you put it down. This is the process of awareness. You notice, okay, this is my breath. Then something else will come. Okay, this is a sound. Then something else will come. Okay, this is a thought. Something else will come. You feel the steps when you walk. Again and again, you feel the steps, you feel the sounds. So various things appear in your field of awareness. You notice it. With the awareness, you notice it, you become aware, then you let it go. This is the practice. This is the process of mindfulness. Remember the reports that we heard earlier? This is the process that they were explaining. Okay, I felt my breath. I felt the sounds. I felt the thoughts, I felt likes and dislikes. So this is the practice. So in a way, we are training our mind to be in that state one, to be in that blissful state. Again and again, 1001 times, you are training it within probably one sitting session. You are training it again and again, 1001 times to be present. Be in that blissful mind state. Again and again, the mind gets carried away. It becomes that worrying state. It becomes that second monk. But again, after a while, you become aware, bring it back again to the breath, to the present moment. And without you knowing, after a few minutes, it's all, again goes into that worrying state. But you become aware, bring it back. You become aware, bring it back. So this is what we are doing. 1001 times, probably within a one sitting session, we try to be aware, we try to be present. So in a way, you are training your mind to be present. In a way, you are training your mind to be in that blissful state. So this is the training. This is the practice that we are doing. And with time, you realize, although the worries, thoughts are there, they don't last for so long. Earlier, you can think thoughts for hours. When something happens, you worry for days. This is how you used to be. But with practice, you realize that it is becoming more and more present. So we call resilience of our mind is improving, the quality of the resilience. What is resilience? It is the quality that, let's say, some trouble coming to your mind, some difficulty coming to your mind. It is the time that takes for you to return back to your normal state of mind. Day-to-day level of state, some kind of a happiness, unhappiness level you have. That is your normal state of mind. So when something bad happens, when some troubles come, it's the time that takes for you to return back to normal. So that's the idea of the resilience. So let's say some worry come into your mind. It takes few days for you to recover. Something big happens, it takes few weeks for you to recover. Even 2 days ago, I met this person. He was saying, I am always worrying. When something happens at work, I worry the entire day. When something happens at my home, I worry for weeks. And I can feel how this worrying is eating me. I can feel how it is destroying me. I can feel how poisonous that is. This person is saying. So you can really feel without resilience in your mind, you can worry for hours, you can worry for days. But if your mind has higher resilience, then it will return back to the original state much faster. So this is the idea of the resilience. And you can give this analogy of rubber. There's this quality of elasticity in rubber. What is that quality? You put some strain onto the rubber and it will deform. It will change its shape. And when you let go, when you remove that strain, then can it recover back? Can it come back to the original position, original shape? That is the quality of the rubber. That is why it is so useful. Right? So that's the same thing with mind. If you have resilience, you will return back to normal, the usual level, much faster. So with practice, you can really feel that resilience is improving. You can experience for yourself. Some people come and say that earlier I used to worry for weeks when something happens. Now I can recover within few days. Now I can recover within few hours. Now I can recover within few minutes. This is the practice. this is how it is improving. And when you are present, when your mind recovers fast, you are blissful. You are in this peaceful state of mind. You are present. So that's the idea of the practice. And you spend some time, you invest, and you can really feel this. You can really experience this. And that's the invitation of our program. We are not going to give you so much information about, you know, theories and stuff. Instead, we invite you to practice. We have these two simple videos. And when you watch it, you won't get any idea. It will show somebody walking. It will show somebody sitting. And you will become more and more confused. What is this? You will ask. But the invitation is that try the walking. Try the sitting. And when you do that, when you spend some time, then you can come back with your own experience. That's the basis for our discussion. Without you experiencing, no point of us discussing so much. No point of explaining so many theories because you don't know. You don't experience. No point in such a discussion. So that's why we made that those two videos very short, simple. And when you watch them, you won't get any idea. And so many complaints come to me. They go and watch the video. They come and say, I don't have any idea. I watched the video. Somebody was walking. Somebody was sitting. So what should I do? This person is asking. That's the exact idea of the video. You watch it. You do your practice. Then you come with your experience. That's the basis for our discussion. Okay, you come and tell, I can't be mindful. I have so many thoughts. I feel pain. Okay, that's a good start. Now, can you do this? Can we do like this? That's the basis for our discussion. You do your walking. You come and say, I don't feel my body. I feel the thoughts. I feel the sights. I feel the sounds. You will come and say. Then that's the basis for our discussion. That's how we can progress. Otherwise, you just listen. You come back next week again, you listen. No progress. If you practice, then you will see the real difficulties. Because this path is unique to each of us. No two similar paths. Instead, it's unique. You have to experience, you have to practice and see how your path is progressing. You have to see what is your experience. With that experience, we can have a discussion. We can give you some guidance how to progress. So that's the idea. And when we spend time like this, it's time that's worthwhile spending. Otherwise, we are just discussing. We are making no progress. So we invite all of you to try and do this. Try to walk for a few minutes and see what is your experience. Try to sit for some time and see what is your experience. Try to do your day-to-day activities, something like brushing or drinking a cup of tea mindfully, and come back with your experience. And when you do that, that's the basis, that's the foundation for our discussion. And we can discuss, give you some pointers, and we can progress as a group. So I think that's enough for today. So you can take your own time practicing. And if you come with your experience next time, then we can see how we can make progress. Thank you for listening.
Thank you, Bhante, for those insightful words and ideas on mindfulness through the talk. And as Bhante mentioned very well, once you commence mindful walking and mindful sitting, then those experiences will start teaching you quite a lot. And in today's world where the idea of mental health and mental fitness is very prominent, these kind of practices will help you to strengthen your mind and mental fitness to a level that most other knowledge or bodies of knowledge will not be capable of providing you with. That is why we have structure this program in this manner and try to maintain it so that you can benefit from this. So with that, the talk is has concluded. But if you have any questions on the concepts that Bhante presented, the topic or on your own practice or on the talk itself, please raise your Zoom hand and I will give you a chance to elaborate your question or statement. I think there is no... Yes, there is Nadeep raising hand. You can speak, Nadeep.
Thank you, Namanta, and thank you, Bhante. This is a little bit about my mindful sleeping, actually. when I go to the sleeping mindfully, Bhante, I actually find that it doesn't feel like, you know, sleeping. And then I wake up, I just want to sleep more. And then I, before the sleeping, told myself, okay, I don't want to be mindful about my sleeping today. Just, you know, slept like as I was euthanized and then wake up. So it's actually wake up fresh, but still I want to sleep again, you know, a few hours. Say, for example, if I slept 6 hours straight and then when I woke up, I said, only slept, you know, 6 hours. I want to sleep another, you know, 1 hour to make it up like, you know, 7 hours sleep. But this happened a couple of times, but it doesn't worry me. But the thing is, you know, when we do the mindful sitting and mindful walking and all other stuff, we feel, you know, a lot tranquil. And when we engage mindfully with other things, again, you know, it's a very less stressful. Why doesn't, when we sleeping mindfully, it doesn't like... It's my way through my experience. Why doesn't it feel so like, you know, lot, you know, tranquil when we're sleeping mindfully? Thank you.
Okay, so you sleep for 6 hours, then you want to wake up and sleep for three more. So join the club, I would say, right? So this is usual, right? So that's how we think about the sleep. You look at the clock and you realize, now I have slept only a little time. Can I add three more? So that's the way that usually it happens. But as you mentioned, if you try to be attentive, focus while sleeping, it won't happen. It feels like you can't sleep. Because you are controlling your mind, you are forcing your mind probably to observe the breath or observe the posture. So in a way, you have to let go and be aware, be practice awareness. So even our walking and sitting meditations, we get this point, you know, probably after spending a few weeks of practice, you suddenly realize that you just let go of the process and just become the observer. We call it the flow state. In a way, the natural process is happening and you just be with that process. You are not trying to control. You are not trying to observe. You are not trying to pay attention only to the breath. Instead, you allow this natural process to happen. And you just be with that. That is called the flow state. Or Tao, we can say, right? So that in a way, if you want to fall asleep, you have to allow this natural process. Otherwise, you are controlling, and you will come and complain that I can't fall asleep. So it's natural. It's a valid complaint. So what I suggest is that allow this natural process to go on. Allow this natural relaxation of your mind. And be with that process. And when you do that, you can easily fall asleep. Otherwise, if you are too controlling, then you realize that you can't sleep. You can't sleep because you want to be mindful. Okay. That's not the proper way. You have to allow this natural process. And just being with that process is the mindfulness. This is very advanced meditation technique that we are saying. Even walking, sitting, this same process is happening. And people struggle with that change. They say that I can't observe breath. The walking is happening like a dead body. I don't know what is going on. I am not able to control the walking. So various complaints they give. So the same complaint you are giving with your sleep. When you try to control too much, then you won't fall asleep. Instead, you realize that for so many hours you are trying to fall asleep. You are observing breath and still awake. So the idea is to let go, allow the natural process and just be with that process. When you do that, you can easily fall asleep.
Yeah. Thank you very much. Much merit, Bhante.
Okay, next I will invite Gihanta to unmute and raise a question.
Thank you, Ramantar. Good morning, Bhante and everybody. My question to Bhante is, you mentioned earlier today that positivity is also poisonous. Can you elaborate why?
Okay, let's think that you got something really valuable. You got a new car, right? You were planning, you were saving for years, and finally you got it, right? And when you got it, you are so happy. And one day you park it, you go somewhere. When you return, somebody keyed it. Now what will you feel? Now, due to this pleasant thing that you got, you feel suffering. You feel friction in your mind. You worry, who has done this? You want to check all the CCTV footage to find the related person. So what happens? You had this positive emotion in your mind and suddenly it went in the other direction. So both positivity and negativity, or let's say pleasure and displeasure, they are two sides of the same coin. You ask for one, you get the other, right? So that's what happens to most of the people. They earn so much. They enjoy the life. They want only the happiness. But towards the end of their life, they realize, although they were chasing happiness, they gathered probably like equal amount of unhappiness as well. Probably even more unhappiness than the happiness that they got. And they are suicidal towards the end of their life. They are depressed towards the end of their life. So that's what happens to most of the popular people who go after money, go after fame. You read their life towards the end of, and you realize that they were suffering so much because they gathered the same amount of unhappiness, probably even more unhappiness than the happiness that they gathered. So that's why it's two sides of a coin. Pleasure equals to pain, pain equals to pleasure, right? So this process, we are ignorant about it and we think that we only want to keep the better half. We only want to keep that positive side and you are chasing. And you end up finding that negative side as well. You get confused. You think, what has happened? I was only looking for the positivity. I was only looking for the pleasure. And I end up getting this pleasure as well. I end up getting negativity as well. So if you think about it, if you really experience it, then you realize both contain the poisonous. Both are poisonous and it is difficult to explain. Negativity, of course, you feel. Negativity, it is easier to, you know, tell you. It is easier to understand. But positivity, they won't accept it. They think that this is not negativity. We shouldn't look at life like this. We shouldn't, you know, listen to these type of teachings. But if you really think about it, positivity also contains the same poison. If you have some people that are very dear to you in your life, if something happens to them, what will you feel? Because of that very positive energy, you feel the negativity. because of that valuable thing you had, you feel hurt when it's broken. So that's why we say, have this idea, know that even the positive things, they contain this poisonous nature. Even the things that we value so much, they are already broken. It's just a matter of time that you will see it. So when you have this idea, when you know this, then even before they are broken, you can really enjoy your time with them. You know deep in your mind that this is already broken. So even the few minutes that I am spending with it is precious, is valuable, and you will pay attention to those few minutes. You won't look at your phone and, you know, you talk to your family members. Instead, you will spend that quality time with them because those things are already broken. It's just a matter of time that you see it. So that's the idea. And when you, if you experience, if you practice, you can really feel how they are connected. You can really feel how likes and dislikes are appearing. Maybe you were there. We heard such a report that was explaining this process, how likes and dislikes are appearing again and again, how they are interconnected. So if you practice, you can really see this. Even with thinking and analyzing, we can feel that even the positive things, they contain this type of a poison.
Thank you, Bhante.
Okay. Thank you, Giyanta, for that question, and much thanks to Bhante for the explanations on both questions. So I think there's no one else raising a hand. And I would like to start concluding the session for today. So I would like to mention thankfulness and gratitude for Venerable Bhante for joining today's session representing Nisaranavane Forest Monastery. So thank you, Bhante, and I hope the merits of this good deed go on to improve Bhante's own practice as well. And I would also like to mention gratitude Most Venerable Bhante Udayiregama Dhammajiva Mahatheru for insightfully requesting this program to be actualized. So, and I wish the merits will pass on to the Venerable Bhante and also all the Bhantes at Nisaranavane Forest Monastery. And I would also like to mention with gratitude all the organizers who initiated this program. Some of them are not joining the session today, but they have been insightful in creating and maintaining this program to date and will do so into the future too. So thank you and many merits to them. And I hope these merits will go on to escalate their practices as well. And also those of you who joined today and watched the live stream on the Facebook stream should be thanked. It is because of your attendance and your dedication to this mindfulness practice that we are having the session running like this. So thank you and many merits to you. And I wish that you will be able to join all of the next weeks sessions and then gather more insight and also keep on improving on your mindfulness in practice and in daily life. So with that, I would like to close the session. If someone has any comments or questions or suggestions for the program in general, you can raise a Zoom hand. Thank you for your comments, everyone, on the chat section. Much appreciated as an organizer on this program and also booster of great happiness for all of us for maintaining these programs, including Bhante. So I think there's no one raising the hand. I have posted some announcements, short announcements in the Zoom chat section. So the program will be held next week at the same time, same day, for you to participate, and you will be able to spend your week mindfully with this knowledge gathered. Try to do as much practice sessions as you can apart from that, try to remain mindfulness with mindfulness during your daily activities too. I wish all of you a happy and mindful week ahead. Until we see you next week in the same session. So I will end this session now, and wish we will meet next week. Have a happy and mindful week ahead. Thank you.